Wojcicki, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy Tuesday night. Of course, it's raining here. It's raining like crazy. People doing nutty things in the car. Bad weather continuing also on the other side of the country. All the way through Texas, a massive a cold spell. You've been following this snow event. People stuck at airports last week, and areas that had never been frozen before are frozen now. And in one, I think, very interesting image is there's a crocodile farm in North Carolina. I used to live in North Carolina. I lived in Durham. I can tell you, it does not get that cold there. So this is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime event. The water actually froze, and the alligators at the alligator farm, interestingly enough, knew exactly what to do. Do you know what that is? There's pictures out there of these alligators sticking their snouts out of the water, and they allow themselves to be frozen in place. Their bodies actually sort of regulate, adapt to what it is. They slow down their metabolism, and they are just able to breathe with their snouts out of the water. You see in these pictures, you see a bunch of snouts sticking out of the water, and the alligators, they're going to be fine. The water thaws, and their metabolism speeds up again. Their heart rate goes up. Their vitals come back. And presto, these alligators are as good as new. Now, no one is saying this. No one has looked at this picture. Everybody's reporting on it. Oh, isn't it adorable? Look at these alligators. They're freezing into place, and they know exactly what to do. Aren't they smart? And my takeaway from this is, if these highly evolved creatures that have been around since the time of the dinosaurs know exactly what to do when the water is frozen in a climate that never freezes, how is this climate situation man-made? It's man-made. Climate change, of course, dates back to what? The Industrial Revolution, you know, like Dickens and, smokestacks and that kind of thing. Little orphan kids looking for oatmeal. You see, this is where the myth of global warming, the myth of climate change, it just completely comes undone. So next time somebody starts telling you about climate change, you do not even have to be a scientist to understand that what I am telling you is 100% spot on. It's not like that freaking alligator just figured it out. These are things. If you know animals and you've had pets, you know that certain behaviors are ingrained and they come from, thousands upon millions of years of evolution. So these animals instinctively knew what to do. Interestingly enough, speaking of instinct, Steve Bannon out at Breitbart. Turns out Bannon could not just stick his snout above the water and freeze himself in place and hope that the whole thing would blow over. That strategy did not work. Somebody took a snout and snapped it for him. Those people, of course, are the Mercers, the billionaires that are the financial backers of Breitbart. Interestingly enough, it's not a self-supporting media company. Breitbart is reliant on outside money to fund them. And money, money talks. This is how these things work. You know, if you've got a patron, that patron calls the shots. Steve did not quit. He was told to leave. And I would imagine that part of making that process clean, he was allowed to bow out gracefully and make a statement and do it more or less on his own terms. And that's what you heard today. That's the news story. But guaranteed behind the scenes, he was shown the door and told in no uncertain terms that the jig was up. All right. You know, have you seen these economic news? These economic indicators, everywhere you look, the economy is going gangbusters. And it's not just about the stock market. The stock market is probably crazy and we're headed for a correction. But the things that matter, unemployment rates, small business optimism at record highs today reported in the news. This kind of stuff, it's all happening because business owners, people who invest money in this economy, people who are looking forward, by this I mean looking ahead, right, and seeing what the near, next this year, next year, and the year after look like, feel good. They feel good because they see that there's deregulation happening. They see that the tax plan is passed. They see that Trump is actually going to be effective. All of this matters. This is not the result of us, you know, Bush stimulus, Obama stimulus, not the result of the government spending money. This is the result of the current government fulfilling its promise to get out of the way. I know this as a business owner. When government gets out of my way, I'm able to do my thing. And my thing results in more jobs and the people that work for me making more money, me making more money, me paying ultimately more money in taxes, me spending more money both at work as part of my commercial enterprise and also, of course, as an individual. And this all turns the wheels of capitalism, stimulates the economy, and creates the kind of data that we're seeing reported right now in the news. That is where all of this is coming from, and it's good stuff. It's real. I can feel it in talking to my friends. In fact, yesterday I was at the mall, at the local Orange County shopping center that has a lot of bougie, high-end boutique stores. And I found myself, I wandered in one of these boutique stores. And no, I didn't go there at closing time like Oprah, so I didn't get kicked out. Don't worry. But I went into one of these stores and, you know, I was talking to a guy there that I know. And he said, wow, it's just, Sam, you would not believe the amount of money that people are spending. He said that it is in his, you know, he's done retail. This is one of those guys that does retail and that's what he does. And he's done it for like 10 years. British guy. Came to Orange County, he's got the cute accent, so he can sell anything. Well, anyway, he said, and this is just anecdotal, but hear me out. It's interesting because on one hand, you have everybody telling us that the shopping mall is dying, right? The shopping mall is dying. Jeff Bezos is a $105 billion man. Amazon's taking over. Alexa is going to be doing all of our shopping in the future. But it's interesting because here in the OC, money is being spent. And I imagine it's the same elsewhere. We're not an outlier, okay? And this is a result of optimism. And those dollars being spent, that is all, it's going into this guy's pocket. It's going to all the people that work there, all these businesses that are producing goods. Look, it's part of a broader economy that is getting healthy. And it's good for all of us. So rejoice. Be happy about this. Now, today's big news, kind of dominating the entire scene of the news, the cable news landscape, is this meeting, this meeting at the White House that was held, that was hosted by none other than Donaldus Magnificus, the president himself, called together legislatures from both parties. Legislators from both parties, Republicans, Democrats from the House and Senate, they all sat around the big table and they opened. Well, Trump had the room open to cameras. This is one of the most important things to note from this meeting because that's relatively unusual. Typically at the White House, if you have a meeting, you will allow the cameras in at the very beginning. The cameras come in, you bring in the cameras, you got them, the TV and film, you take the photos, you do a little bit of video, you answer some questions, and then you shoo the reporters out of the room. Why is this? Well, you do that because you do not get anything done when cameras are rolling. Everybody knows that the politicians are, well, what's the polite word? It's not the one I'm thinking of. They're prostitutes when it comes to media attention. They say one thing in front of the cameras and then do a complete other in private. And the common thinking is that when you have that established pattern of behavior, You got to get the cameras out of the room in order to get real work done. And people are not going to compromise, for example, when they are off camera. The problem is that when you are somebody like, let's say, Trump, and you have everybody screaming about you being a nutso and losing it and basically, you know, wandering the White House and muttering about cats, this makes you want to show to the world that you still have your faculties. So it's kind of like when you want to take Grandpa's keys, say, you know, Grandpa, you're not driving. He goes, give me those keys. I'm going to show you I can drive. Right. And then Grandpa, next thing you know, he gets into the gets into his old Fleetwood Caddy and you know, does donuts out there in the parking lot in the old nursing home. That did not exactly happen in the sense that Grandpa turned out here. President Trump turned out to be kind of a hell of a driver. I mean, he got out there in front of those cameras and he razzled and he dazzled. Now, whether or not they got together and actually figured out something substantively positive, I don't know. Some of what Trump said worries me. Some of what he said does not. And I'm going to get into that. I want to take you through this so you understand exactly what's going on. But one thing that I will tell you right now that is, we'll see, maybe even a stroke of genius, if we don't want to overuse that term, maybe even a stroke of stable genius, is that, you know, you've got reporters normally hostile to Trump are walking away from this and they are, fawning. Can I even use that word? They are fawning. Dana Bash, who is, as you know, no friend of the Trumpster. She is a CNN talking head. Well, listen to her. She's on today on CNN Roundtable and says this about the immigration meeting at the White House.
I'm sure I'm going to get hit for this, and I don't really care. I think that the bottom line is that this is a year ago. This is the presidency that many people thought Donald Trump was capable of. We don't know if this is going to be a results-driven debate, but just the notion of him being in command, of him wanting the cameras in there and wanting the cameras to see him sitting at a table with Democrats and Republicans, playing the role of a deal maker, whether it sees fruition or not, this is what people who had high hopes for the Trump presidency thought it would be, meeting after meeting like this.
So I think she genuinely believes this, right? She's saying this because she believes it. I don't necessarily think now that for her, the Michael Wolff book is going to be the gospel truth that it was the other day. And Bash is not, she is not alone in expressing this type of flattery, almost. Now, by the way, when she says this is the kind of presidency a year ago, we thought, you know, some people thought, many people thought that Trump was capable of. Who does Dana know? Who did she know a year? Who the hell was she talking to a year ago that had any positive view of what a Donald Trump presidency could look like? This is CNN, right? The night of long faces, namely election night, when pretty much everybody was crying. And and Van Jones was getting the Black Panther gang together. But anyway, apparently now she remembers someone, many people who thought Trump would, you know, could amount to something. Okay. But in and of itself, that is good news. So, was it effective? Sure, of course. Trump is a guy who understands the power of the cameras, right? He had a successful show. He pioneered, in some respects, The Apprentice was reality TV at its early start. He understands how important imagery is and how cameras can help serve you accomplish whatever goal it is that you're desiring to reach. And here the goal that he wants is, I'm in charge. I've got my faculties about me. I'm not drooling from the, you know, left corner of my mouth. And by the way, I'm reasonable. Remember yesterday we talked about the New York Times piece. There was a piece. Who did Brooks? Was it David Brooks who said this? You had the invisible White House versus the Potemkin White House. The Potemkin White House being the Twitter White House, the one that makes all the noise, that gets all the attention, a lot of negative attention, while it's the invisible White House that is quietly plodding along and getting things done. And I think with too much attention to the Potemkin White House, Trump wanted to show some give the invisible White House a little bit of daylight. And that's what this meeting was about. Now, things in it concern me. A deal at any cost is not okay. I'll explain this when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yo, here we go. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Yes, here we are. And I have to, I always do this. I get so excited about everything going on, and I neglect to give the phone number, 800-222-5222. That is the number to reach me. That is the bat phone. Sam@samnation.com. That is the email. And I do check those emails throughout the program. If something comes through that is on topic or relevant, I will absolutely read it and get into it with you all. All right. Now, you know, as far as this meeting in the White House today that showed a very in control President Trump, also a, I would say, a more what's the word that's being used? Bipartisan. I hate that word. That word makes me nervous. If you know me and you know this program, you know that bipartisan is liberal speak for Republicans doing what Democrats want. It's for Republicans turning out from becoming liberals out of conservatives. But I, for once, and you want to hold the presses here because you'll hear me actually agree with Jake Tapper to some extent. Jake Tapper suggested today that the immigration debate that was held on camera was all about Wolf's book. And listen to this.
President, throughout the 55-minute on-camera session, seemed, even to Democrats, affable, reasonable, and fully in command. After a week in which new questions had been raised about the president's fitness and stability, prompted by that tell-all book, Fire and Fury, with which the president and the White House cooperated, if you're wondering if pushing aside those concerns was at least partly the point of these on-camera negotiations for the Bill of Love, you're not being cynical. You're being correct.
Oh, well, please allow me to be cynical. That's what I do. It's what you ought to do as a journalist, certainly. And by the way, Jake, I know it really hurts you that even Democrats found the president affable. Oh, that's really got to get under your skin. But Jake is absolutely 100% correct. Okay? This was done for show. And in that sense, there was a you risk when you're doing something for show, you're always risking that it ends up being only for show. And Trump made a statement he said something to the effect of, you guys get together, pointing to the Republicans and the Democrats in the room. You guys get together and get me a bill, and whatever it is, I'm going to sign it. Now you just put it together, put together a bill, and I am here. He practically was waving a pen in the air. I got something here I want you to sign. Give me something I can sign, I will sign it. And this, folks, is as you know, not a good strategy, because you have to. And I think Trump cares about the substance of the bill. Acosta, by the way, Jim Acosta, noted anti-Trumpist from CNN, already is reporting that a top White House official is saying a wall has to be part of phase one. Now, this has to do with the deal The reason that both sides are getting together is because Democrats want deferred action for the kids of illegals called DACA. It rhymes with caca. That's how you can remember that one. Now, DACA is a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea unless you secure the border, because if you grant amnesty now and you don't secure the border, what happens? Well, shoot, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, you got a whole new set of arrivals who are now here illegally, and it's rinse and repeat time. You cannot have perpetual amnesties without securing the border. So the deal here cannot be, give me a bill, whatever bill you want, just give me something I can sign for the sake of looking in control and productive. If the result of that is a deal on amnesty without a deal on the wall. Now, the wall is a critical component of this. The wall is not just a concept. It's not just a structure. But it's really critical to Trump's reelection. I'm going to explain this. I got to get into this because this immigration deal literally could sink or swim Trump's entire presidency come 2020 and the race. And it has nothing to do with Oprah. Okay, John Wolf up next with the news. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, back right after this.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I am your favorite reactionary. And we're coming to you live as ever from the Sweet James Studios in an undisclosed location on the right side of the Orange Curtain. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Trump has got to build a wall before the election or he's toast. That's it. And the reason being is, what iconic, I don't know, moment from Trump's candidacy do you remember? Well, I'll tell you what I think of. Inextricably linked to Trump's campaign are the chants, build the wall. That is what we heard. It's not even what we heard. That is what Trump supporters heard. That is what the people that stood in 3, 4, 5 hour lines on election day to vote for Trump. Okay, because nobody was standing in a 3 hour line to vote for Hillary. That is what Trump's diehard voters that made the difference in the election wanted. And if he doesn't deliver, he's toast. It doesn't matter how much he wants to blow smoke rings up Chucky Schumer's rear hiney. Okay? None of that will matter. Appeasing Democrats is like appeasing Hitler. And I'm not exaggerating this. They don't want to give an inch. Today, Schumer said, effective border security includes a variety of technologies and resources, drones, infrared sensors, customs and border patrol agents, and that we don't need to build a medieval wall, calling it merely an ineffective political gesture. You know why? Democrats want these people to come across the border and vote for them. What nation on earth, pray tell me, opens their borders to people to come into that country illegally and then participate in an election process to pick the government that governs all of us? It's nuts. We've lost our minds here. But it's part of a calculated strategy. So when I look at this, you know, kumbaya meeting in the White House, pardon me, Jake Tapper, if indeed I am a little cynical. And my cynicism is not directed at Trump. My cynicism is directed at the Democrats. Because these guys do not want to meet Trump halfway. Well, I will see you, your 25-foot wall. Can we make it a pony wall? You think we could do? Could we do a little, I don't know. Could we do a ditch instead? Could we do a ditch? No, The Democrats do not want a wall. They want this problem to continue. They want poverty in these neighborhoods. They want people that are dependent on them. This is what they want. They want to continue their demagoguery. And it is so patently obvious. And if Trump caves on this, if he makes the mistake that Reagan made, every Republican eventually falls for the Democrat trap. And I say this because, you know, okay, you think, what ways did Obama capitulate to the Republicans? Did he make Obamacare any less crappy? Roll up the red carpet for business in America a little bit less because of the Republicans? No, he did everything the way he was going to do it. And the press just went, oh, yes. Oh, my gosh, you're so wonderful. And so it went. And Trump has got to not care what people say, not worry about what's in this damn book, and just get to doing what he's doing and fulfilling his campaign promises. If he does that, he wins. He's not gonna win over any Chuckie Schumers of the world or Nancy Pelosi's of the world or Lena Dunham's or Chelsea Handler's or anybody. He's not going to win any of these people over. That's okay. He didn't have them to begin with. He's never going to have them. But he needs to deliver to his base. If he doesn't, it's not going to work. Plain and simple. Okay, don't go anywhere. I've got a few more points to say on this. Oh, we got more clips from CNN. Fascinating stuff. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky here for my friend, my attorney, my champion, Sweet James Bergner. Now, listen, this is the guy that you need to call if you've been in an accident, if you've been injured, you're hurt, and you got to go after somebody, you know, and I know that sounds unpleasant. It really isn't. And especially it isn't if you've got somebody doing it for you and doing it professionally and handling it with care. Sweet James and his team, they've been doing this for 13, 14 years now. $400 million collected for their clients. And that number continues to go up. No recovery, no fee. All consultations are free. You've got a great team of people standing by, ready to talk to you. Give Sweet James and his people a call. They'll talk your case through with you, figure out what needs to be done. It's really easy. And again, you don't pay for it, at least not up front. Sam or John. Okay, so here's what you do. Call a phone number. 800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC. All right. Now, in talking about immigration, pivotal to immigration is securing the border. Now, securing the borders is a phrase that you and I use. Okay, we understand what that means. And that, of course, is a phrase that maybe a Jeb Bush would use, or I don't know, any one of the other failed Republican candidates. But Trump used build the wall. Okay, he used it because it's simple and it invokes a certain type of imagery. And what image do you have in your mind of a wall? Well, I know what kind of image I have. And it's not like a little fence, okay? It's not some ditch. It's not a drone flying overhead or lasers, okay? It's a wall. It's the kind of wall that we saw going up in pieces. I don't know if you remember this, but maybe 2-3 months ago, they began constructing sort of a test pieces of the border wall down by San Diego. That's the type of wall that we are picturing, or we pictured when we listened to Trump talk about this. Now, the reaction already to him saying, send me any bill, send me anything, I'll sign it, is predictably negative from his supporters. Now, to illustrate this point, Linda from Burbank. Linda, are you here?
I'm here.
Hello, Linda, welcome here to the program.
Hello. I am so furious.
Tell me why.
overhearing Trump saying, you know, send me a bill, send me a bill, I'll sign it, making all these agreements and stuff like that. I am serious.
Well, explain. Yeah, no. So now tell me why, because I think this is, I don't think that you are alone. Were you, I'm assuming you're a Trump supporter?
Yeah, and I voted for him because he was going to build a wall. He was going to deport all the illegal aliens. And that's the main reason why I voted for him.
Now, look, this is not a very popular thing to say, right? I mean, you can't just say, oh, deport the alien. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there who absolutely understand that illegal immigration has got to stop. And at the very least, we can't just roll out a red carpet and say, just everybody come on over and play the Democrats game, play the big, you know, big business game, too, because this is big business. Republicans and Democrats both turned a blind eye to this. And Trump was the first candidate who came along, major party candidate, really, who people really believed. Like, Linda, you really believed him when he said he was going to end this. And so now you're frustrated. Let me ask you this. If I told you, and this is, again, what's being reported now, and it's being reported by, you know, people, you know, who are hostile to the president. So I tend to believe that this is accurate reporting. That the wall is absolutely part of the package. They're backtracking on Trump's, you know, I'll sign whatever I get. Does that put you at ease?
No, because there are other, you know, I mean, if Trump needed to make a deal with the Democrats, you know, to keep for the wall, there are other deals he can make besides DACA. There is the disabled. There's the senior citizens. There's the elderly. There's infrastructure, which he talks about, and there's an opioid crisis, which he talks about. In fact, over the weekend, I heard that there's a Democrat congressman, I don't remember his name, but he said he was willing to work with, I don't remember if he said Trump or the Republicans, on the opioid crisis.
Well, Linda, these are all good points. Yeah, so listen, I'm sorry, I'm up against a hard break here. I got to go. I'll respond to you when I come back from the break. Thank you so much for calling. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
News, talk, evolve, 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. When it comes to the immigration issue, Linda, the caller that we just had last segment, is not alone. Okay, understand this. This is a pivotal part of the pact that Trump has with his base is based on the promise to build the wall. And if the Democrats are able to successfully derail it from happening, and prevent it from happening, this will be the end of any chances he has for re-election. The book is not a problem, okay? His Twitter account is not a problem. All the things that the press says are problems and are fatal to Trump are not. What will be fatal to Trump is capitulation on any of the major issues that got him elected. And he cannot, the connection that he has with his base and his supporters, only Trump can break. And there are plenty of good examples. Hey, George H.W. Bush, Bush the first. What happened to him? It wasn't just the economy. One of the critical problems was he kowtowed to the Democrats. And he was one of those Republicans, right? Bush, both Bush 1 and 2, both Republicans that wanted to be loved. They wanted to be loved. I call them abused Republicans. They just want to love their abusers, the Democrats. And so what did Bush 1 do? You remember this? After promising no new taxes. In fact, his clever slogan back then was, read my lips. Read my lips. No new taxes. He then raised taxes because he was trying to work it out with the Democrats. And you think that come the election, the Democrats, looked favorably on that? No, they rubbed his face in it and he lost because, very importantly, he disgusted so many Republicans who did what? They didn't vote for him, but they still voted. They went to Ross Perot and they were disgusted. They were disgusted by that act of treason. All right. Gloria Borger on CNN Roundtable had some good and bad things to say about Trump. I'm just saying these are raw reactions today to the event earlier at the White House, and a couple interesting points here. I'll have a listen.
Now, the right wing, as John was pointing out while we were listening to this, is already starting to attack the president on this. And this is a president who I think is pointedly behaving not as Michael Wolff would have him portrayed in his book, but as somebody who is sitting around exactly. with people and is in charge here. And what we heard from the president today multiple times is, I'll be signing it. And we don't know what that it is, but we know now that this is a president who has been burned terrifically by the Michael Wolff book. This is a president who knows, as John points out, what his approval ratings are. And he wants a win. He wants a win.
I don't think he really cares about his approval rating one iota. I mean, Trump, better than anybody, understands that these polls are all just, you know, nonsense. But there definitely was some conflicting messaging. Now, to be fair to Trump, I know you're laughing, but I need to do that. To be fair to Trump, well, here's a part of what he said also when it came to the wall. And it is mixed messaging. It really is. Because, Linda, if you're listening, here's what Trump said about the wall.
We can do a great job. We can do a great wall, but you need the wall. And I'm now getting involved. I like to build under budget. Okay. I like to go under budget ahead of schedule. There's no reason for 7 years. Also, I heard the other day, please don't do that to me. 7 years to build a wall. We can build the wall in 1 year.
Yes, sir.
And we can build it for much less money than what they're talking about.
So there it is. I mean, this is also rhetoric that we're hearing. And what I make of it is the principal objective of today's event was to show that Trump is in charge, that he's conscious, that he's making sense, that he's able to hold conversations in commander room. And yes, in my opinion, and you don't have to take my word for it. Just listen to CNN. Hell, yesterday they basically had him written off as just losing his marbles, and today they're fawning over how in charge and how powerful he seemed to be. So I think that was the real objective. All right, we got some more horse trading, more Oprah reactions. I want to get into some of that, and then you know I still think some of the constitutional implications here of the of this whole. Our political constitutional implications of this 25th Amendment nonsense, really, I need to touch on this because it's just so anti-democratic at the very end of it, if nothing else. So don't go anywhere. I will be back right after this break. We got the news up next with John Wolff. Talk to you in a few minutes.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rojofsky here, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC, 1-800-222-5222. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Now, yesterday, the press went absolutely bananas. Bananas for Oprah's Golden Globe speech. Oh, you know, okay, by the way, are you as alarmed as I am by groupthink? Yeah, I'm one of these people that if everybody says, you know, go left, I'm going to go right. The more people that are in agreement on an issue, then I start to get worried. You know, one of the reasons, early on. No. I shouldn't say this. I was going to say that early on, one of the things that attracted me about Trump was how many people are telling me that he was insane. But the truth of the matter is, I saw him speak and it resonated with my opinion. And I wasn't at all dissuaded by the fact that everybody and their dog was trashing the guy. I don't care. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to go with my own intelligent assessment of the matter. So I am... On that superficial level, I am just looking at this mad frenzy that broke loose yesterday about Oprah. and her speech. Really, what was it? The gist of her speech was, enough is enough, and it's time for women and some brave men to rise up and, you know, and end for once and for all abuse in Hollywood and abuse of women in general and da-da-da-da-da. And the entire thing was just a rehash Me Too speech from a woman who has been a close confidant of Democratic causes, of Bill Clinton. I mean, do I have to remind you, before there was a Barry Obama, there was a Billy Clinton, who was one of the most prolific rapists to come out. I'm sorry, did I say that? Well, look, if you're Juanita Broderick, it's real. I mean, this is not a guy that went around touching women's knees. Oops, I touched your knee. This is a guy who has been accused of doing some extra pervy stuff. Went on to become president. Some of the pervy stuff he later admits to. Well, he's a serial abuser of women. And here you have, and this is the hypocrisy of Hollywood. This is why it's still relevant to me even today and will be relevant to me tomorrow and will be relevant to me next week, is because the hypocrisy of Hollywood is sickening. The only thing Hollywood cares about is image, okay? And that is it. And how they feel in the moment, okay? That's the gist of it. You want a little snip? Here's reactions across the networks yesterday to Oprah's speech the day before. Have a listen.
I think the 2020 presidential campaign actually began yesterday.
A speech so inspiring, many now calling for Winfrey to add yet another title in front of her name, president.
After that speech, she had quite a few people in that room saying they sure did like the sound of President Winfrey.
That speech last night was not only empowering and inspirational, but I thought it also echoed a lot Hillary Clinton's concession speech in 2016, when she said to all the girls watching out there. It was a hopeful speech, and it was also a historical speech, too.
Yeah, I tweeted last night, it was like 5 minutes of desperately needed therapy.
5 minutes of desperately needed therapy. See, these people are losing their minds over Trump. Trump is like this. No, he's like this giant. He's like the BFG. And he's carrying an enormous salt shaker. And these little liberals down there, they're all little snails, and they're just trying to do good in the world. And Trump's there just grinding the salt out, you know. They're all freaking out. It's part of what I love about the guy. So here to them, this was exactly what they want. Oprah gushing about the press, gushing about, you know, how important it is to stand up and to be strong and to be this and that. All of it empty and meaningless for someone who has cavorted with sexual predators in the past. And out of the blue, all of a sudden, everybody in the room is like saying, aha, that's our next president. Which betrays one very important thing, too, which you should note, is look at how, wow, that's the best they've got. Some woman who probably will never run, who will not give up her media empire, will not give up her privacy. This is the best they've got. It's rally around her. It's still early. I get it. But of note. Now, if you want a flavor of this hypocrisy that I'm talking about, listen, this is a part of Oprah's speech at the Golden Globes on Sunday, talking about the press. Listen to this.
I'd like to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, because we all know that the press is under siege these days. But we also know that it is the insatiable dedication to uncovering the absolute truth that keeps us from turning a blind eye to corruption and to injustice.
Yay, 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 yay. So good, Oprah. You said it. Atta girl. Well, here's the problem. Do any of you find it just a bit dodgy that Oprah is talking to a room full of Hollywood elite about how brave and important a free and independent press is, at a time when we are supposedly just coming to the nadir of realization that for decades and decades, rampant sexual abuse has been covered up, has been silenced. We find out news stories about Harvey Weinstein and others have repeatedly, over and over again, been spiked, been buried, been paid off. No, I mean, nobody calling this? I don't want to be the party pooper here. But to me, this is the issue. This shows how empty it is. And nobody cares to challenge the substance of what she's saying because, just like with Obama, if it sounds good, it's good. If it makes me feel good, I'm good with it. In fact, I want more of it. It's empty. It's shallow. It's trite. It's drivel. It's meaningless. Oprah's dumb. Okay, I mean, I know she's a smart lady, but there's nothing to it. It's talk show material. But it is not, they are not the inspired words of a leader. I got to tell you, and we've in all of this talk about what is presidential and what is not presidential, and we hear a lot about these Trump tweets and about these crazy things that he does and how unpresidential it is. I'll tell you one thing that he does that is very presidential is Trump will say unpopular things that must be said, regardless of what consequences come of it. Where I come from, that is called bravery. Getting up in a room of people and at a convenient time when it becomes a convenient subject, talking about something that is popular is not bravery. It's not revolutionary. That's not a leader. That's a follower. That's what you have. And I know there's too much to cover yesterday and there was a lot of other stuff going on. I really needed to come back to this. Because you're right now, I guarantee it, you're inundated by people saying, oh, Oprah, oh, Oprah. And I see it all over my damn Facebook feed. Frickin' Facebook. My private Facebook page where I basically have a handful of friends from high school, a few from college, and family. And boy, none of us are immune from having, you know, semi-mentally, you know, demented people in our lives. Because my entire feed is just littered with people fawning over Oprah. So I just had to share with you why this is nonsense. It's totally drivel. Now, Trump has weighed in. Did you hear this today? Somebody asked Trump during this meeting at the White House, as if there was another more important things to talk about, what he thinks about Oprah and Oprah running. Have a listen.
Hey, can you beat Oprah, by the way?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll beat Oprah. Oprah would be a lot of fun. I know her very well. You know, I did one of her last shows. She had Donald Trump. This is before politics. Her last week. And she had Donald Trump, and my family was very nice. No, I like Oprah. I don't think she's going to run. I don't think she's going to run. I know her very well.
Interesting. But he's being very gracious. And I actually do know he's been on her show a number of times. And there's some great old interviews of him talking to her about, you know, about presidential run. And she's actually asking him the same question. And he's denying that he's going to run. But this was like, I think, 20 years ago or something like that. But I do think that he is right that she's not going to run. And that's because I think that when you look at Oprah's life, there is there's plenty there that she does not want to have publicly dissected. And in fact, and ironically enough, this is where the Democrats and their cohorts in the press end up shooting themselves in the foot. By taking Trump and his family and dragging them through the type of dirt that they have, good luck recruiting quality Democrats who are, you know, maybe perhaps a little fearful of their relationships with their BFFs, Gayle King. And other maybe slightly more salacious details coming out. I mean, nobody wants that. And yeah, I know Obama. She would not get that type of treatment, of course. But there's enough independent media out there. There's enough talk radio. There are enough Sam Nations out there who would draw attention to it. And I don't think she wants any part of it. And I don't think that Oprah set out to, by the way, to make this, gave this speech and as a way to kick off her presidential aspirations at all. I bet she's flattered by all the attention. And media people always do love attention. Trust me, this is an important thing. There's all press is good press. Her name is out there. It's being talked about. It's a good thing. So she's not going to work actively to shut this down. If anything, she's going to encourage it. But this is not the person that is going to be running in 2020 against Trump. Not going to happen. Who is? And when? Well, the race is going to start to heat up here in the next 12 months. I mean, the primaries kick off roughly a year from now. So you're going to see what you'll see is candidates beginning to talk about running. But remember, this is something you've got to realize in these elections. You don't want to declare too soon. And part of that is momentum, mojo, timing. You know, you don't want to jump the shark. But the other part of it is there's a legal component to it. And under federal law, election law, if you declare, even if you say, I am running, the way Joe Arpaio did today in Arizona, say, I am running for the Senate. It doesn't matter if you filed your forms or if you've set up an office, if you've done anything. Declaring can be enough to kick off your campaign. And now all of a sudden you've got a host of rules that you need to follow and limits that are placed on you. And it's a problem. Yeah. So you. Well, yeah, no, it's true. This is why people hold off. This is why people say, I'm thinking about it. Meanwhile, they're building their entire infrastructure and they're hiring people, bringing on people on board. And then by the time they announce, it's the worst kept secret. Everybody already knows they're going to run. But I'll tell you the other thing is the front runner in a race very rarely ends up becoming the victor in the end. Trump wasn't a front runner in the primary. Hillary was, but she ended up losing, right, the general election. But she also, remember this, Hillary also shouldn't have won the primary, right? She got kind of stole that away from Bernie. But the front runner in the Republican primary was none other than Jeb Bush. And Barack Obama, too, was not the front runner back in Hillary was 2008. I mean, 2007, right, during the primaries, Hillary was the front runner. And Barack Obama was well, I don't mean this in dark horse candidate. So anyway, this is the speculation right now is going to run rampant. And the Democrats are going to continue. And there will be a new flavor of the week and flavor of the month that will come out over and over again. Mark my words, the others will come forward. And you know, we probably know who it is. We probably know the person who will eventually become the candidate, but it probably is not somebody that we're thinking. And my crystal ball is out of commission on this front. I have nothing for you, but I will analyze. We're going to follow it. You know, this is going to be a fascinating time. Glad we've got this program because we will go through. It'll be also interesting to see if there'll be Republican challengers to Trump. That can happen, too. Just because he's the sitting president doesn't mean that he automatically gets the Republican nomination. He's going to have to fight for it. And I think between Jeff Flake and a few others, there's somebody out there going to fight for him. Unsuccessfully, though. Guarantee that. All right. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Back right after this.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790. KABC.
Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Notwithstanding her multi-billion dollar empire, I think back in 2010, was it? Yeah, 2010, there's a book that came out about Oprah Winfrey. An unauthorized biography. Boy, did it lay things bare. By the way, since we're talking about Michael Wolff and all the stuff he writes about Trump, it's only fair that we talk about this biography here about Oprah. One of the more natty things in it is she apparently gave a diamond toe ring to Diane Sawyer over at ABC. This is how much she loves the press. This is because she had a crush on Diane Sawyer. It's one of the worst kept secrets, apparently, according to a number of people close to Oprah, that she is gay. Nothing wrong with that, of course, but you know, she's got that weird relationship with Stedman. I don't know. You know, actually, would he become first man? First dude, as we thought maybe Bill would be if Hillary was elected? Or would just Gayle King, the rumored girlfriend, would she become first lady? No idea. Look, if people right now think that the sleeping arrangements at the White House are weird with Melania and Donald, I'm telling you, stuff would get extra weird if Winfrey were president. And on another note here, just speaking of this pinky ring or a diamond toe ring, maybe Trump needs to like send some toe rings over to the members of the press corps. He could get somewhere with that. I could see Acosta being perfectly willing to put on a little Trump pinky ring. Don Lemon, he would do one. I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, this is all detailed in the book. This is the kind of stuff that Oprah does not want to get out. I'm not just delighting in this for the sake of for what it is, but a little bit I am. But I'm letting you know there is stuff like this out there, which is really not that relevant when you're a talk show host. You know, everybody understands that if you're in media, you're screwed up. That's a self-deprecating humor. Nobody appreciates that? Okay. Nobody cares. All right. Shut up, Sam. But I'm telling you, when you start to run for office, all of a sudden this stuff will get all over the place. And I don't think she wants it. I don't think she wants it, so it's not going to happen. Well, you heard Trump's going to... Yeah, we got into that. Trump actually likes Oprah. I thought that clip was interesting. And there are some good interviews of Trump and Oprah talking in the past. We'll play more of those if this continues to be a relevant story. Now, today, you really do have a shift. Yesterday, the talk was entirely about Trump losing his marbles, and now everybody's talking about how, wow, it certainly looks like Trump is not losing his marbles. What this shows is something actually extremely dangerous, which is the entire idea of Trump being incapacitated, being so crazy that he would become constitutionally declared incapable of being president shows that it's an effort to use psychiatry, right? Psychology as a means of fighting, of invalidating, of refuting an opposing thought. And I'm very familiar with this from growing up in a home where I heard frequently stories about what the Soviets did, what the communists did in Eastern Europe. In my parents' country, if you fought the regime, if you were a reactionary, if you were someone who was not on board with the program, you were insane. I mean, that's what they said about you. And I kind of want to get into this because this issue was touched on by Alan Dershowitz, who's been really just throughout this Trump presidency making some tremendously on point comments. But I do think that this is dangerous, right? At no point did I look at Obama and say, this guy's nuts, right? I thought he was an idiot. I thought he was a socialist or worse, but call your opponent crazy in an effort to have him disqualified. It's very dangerous stuff. All right, I want to talk about it when we come back. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. John Wolff up next with the news.
News. Talk. Evolve. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. All right. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Sam@samnation.com is the email. Dershowitz, Alan Dershowitz, the emeritus a law professor from Harvard University, spoke about the psychiatrization of politics on Fox and Friends yesterday. Listen to what he had to say here.
I've railed against the criminalization of political difference. It's getting worse. The psychiatrization of political differences is much more dangerous. It's what they did in Russia. It's what they did in China. It's what they did in apartheid South Africa. Remember that what they're looking at are things they knew about before he was elected president. Look, yeah. I preferred Hillary Clinton. I knew about her. I knew about him. I made a balanced judgment. But you don't lock them up. You don't put them in mental hospitals if you don't agree with them. That's so dangerous to democracy.
This is what the Democrats right are pushing right now with the invoking the 25th Amendment. If you watch MSNBC Morning Joe, that is what they obsessively have been talking about for weeks now. And for a while, I thought, I'm just going to kind of ignore this. I'm not going to get into it because it's such a load of nonsense. But finally, it was yesterday, the whole thing reached a fever pitch with the release of the Michael Wolff book detailing stories of Trump, where 100% of the people the author spoke to all thought that Trump was losing his mind. Now, the fact that inside the Beltway, political operatives think that what Trump is doing is quote-unquote insane doesn't surprise me, nor should it surprise you. In fact, if you wanted Trump to go into Washington and shake things up and not be business as usual, you should be very comforted by all of this. The 25th Amendment, however, is being raised by all these people because they're desperate to find a way to get rid of this guy. They want to get rid of him. They don't really think he's insane. They are grasping at straws of how to end this presidency. The entire narrative here was, first, Trump doesn't really want to run. He's not really, he's just running for the show of it. Now, you've heard this claim repeated in the book. But that was stage one. He's not really running to win. Look at him. Oh, yeah? Well, tell me, why is he hitting four states in one day? This guy's 70 years old, and he starts his day in Iowa, goes to Nebraska, goes to Illinois, goes to Michigan. Do you even know? I understand he's flying on a private jet. I get all that, but still, that is insane. That's real insanity for a guy that is running just, you know, for self-promotion. And then we moved on, of course, after the election to Russia collusion. The conversation moved to obstruction of justice, right? Firing Comey. This is it. Obstruction of justice. This guy is Nixonian. And none of that got any traction. Yes, I know Mueller's still investigating, but come on. They were all predicting that he'd be carted off in handcuffs by now. The Democrats in the House of Representatives, you know, all some 3.5 of them passed a resolution, right, to or put forward a resolution for some impeachment articles, and it died. It's going nowhere. So the next step is, ha, he's insane. But the 25th Amendment, it has to do with serious incapacity. It was written and intended for serious incapacity, a stroke, okay, something else that would render the president unconscious. And so it isn't, you know, I love these psychologists, right, that they're bringing up. They have these psychologists out there that are talking about how unstable Trump looks and how unstable Trump seems. By the way, this is a violation. Did you know it's a violation of the a code of conduct for professionals in the field of psychology. It's called the Goldwater Rule. You're not allowed to comment about the psychology of the psychological fitness of a public figure without consulting that figure, actually sitting down and evaluating them clinically. Okay, more on this when we come back. It's fascinating stuff. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here. What do you do if you've been in a car accident, right? I mean, well, you're supposed to call the police, get a police report, get yourself to a doctor if you've been hurt. But one of the most important things, one of the things that most people actually neglect to do is to talk to an attorney and get some good, sound legal advice. This is very important because there are so many things that you could do wrong that you just don't even know you're supposed to do. And a great lawyer will tell you what that is. And we'll take care of you and guide you through the process. Who's that? I'll tell you. His name is Sweet James Bergner. And Sweet James and his team, they are who we trust here on the program to help you get through your personal injury case. He's got an easy-to-remember phone number that I want you to take down right now, just in case you may need it. 800-881-2021. That's the number, 800-881-2021. All consultations are free and, of course, confidential. Don't go for one of the imposters. There's a lot of people on the radio that, are pretending, to be as good as James. They're not. You want to talk to James. He's a great guy, got great people there at the office, and they will help you get through your case. Absolutely. Give them a call, 1-800-881-2021, or visit his website, sweetjames.com. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. I was talking here with John Wolfe, and he reminded me, there's a blip here in the news that a federal judge in San Francisco has temporarily blocked Trump's end of DACA. So let me explain this to you really quickly here. Trump's executive action was a reversal of Obama's executive action. So too stuck in the law and boring, legal analysis here. But there's federal law that was established and passed by Congress that had no challenge to it. And that law is you can't be in the country illegally. Okay? Doesn't matter whose kid you are. If you don't have a passport, if you're not a naturalized citizen or a citizen by birth, go. That's the law. And as best as I can tell, nobody challenged it. So Obama comes along and he, using his executive authority, declares that, well, we're going to just ignore the law and we're going to just, give a little exception to these people over here. All Trump did was undo that. All this judge is doing is legislating from the bench. That's it. This judge thinks he's more powerful than the president of the United States. Screw him. But is it a man? Screw her if it's a woman. Doesn't matter to me. I don't have a name. But every single one of these district judges that has been ruling on these Trump immigration issues is getting, pimp slapped by the Supreme Court. This is... It's a fart and a stiff wind is what this is. So I don't know if they're going to need some of that probiotic magic that we keep hearing about here on KBC. But it's just nonsensical. But do you understand the logic, right? You get it that we have a law. The law is not challenged. It's been around since the beginning of time. We have a border. Citizenship means something. Obama comes along, creates an exception. Not by passing another law, not by changing the law, but simply just through executive action saying we're not going to enforce the law that Congress put forward. And then Trump just simply wipes it away. and a judge comes along and says, oh, you can't do that. You can't change what Mr. Obama did over there. You can't do that. It's total rubbish. It doesn't have a leg to stand on. I cannot wait to read this decision. I'm going to do that here, hopefully, before tomorrow. I can get my hands on it before tomorrow's show, because this is going to be a delight to pick through. So, all right, when we come back, let me finish my thoughts here on this whole idea of the 25th Amendment. I love, you see, liberals lose elections and then run to the courts, run to the law to find a way to get their way. This is not playing fair. And it's the same issue with this DACA federal injunction. It's the same issue with calling out the 25th Amendment, finding loopholes of how to get rid of Trump and his agenda. Ain't going to work. That's for damn sure. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, back right after this.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. William Haskell Alsup, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, is the judge who just ruled against DACA, putting a temporary stay, striking a dagger into the heart of the Trump anti-immigrant agenda. Judge Alsup is, of course, up in Northern California, Northern District of California, which is in San Francisco, and is appointed by Bill Clinton. So, yeah, I mean, you got some left-wing lunatic justice who's thinking it's not going anywhere, as explained. The opinion, I think, is 48 pages. Producer Robbie just sent it to me. Looks like I'm going to be up all night reading it. I'll share my thoughts on it with you more coherently tomorrow. Okay. The 25th Amendment, Trump is nuts. By the way, USA Today, which is no great friend of the president. USA Today tends to run a lot of negative stories about Trump, as do most mainstream publications. Stop trying to diagnose our very stable genius president. He might be right, is the title of the piece. Now, you'll see there's warring publications on both sides of this issue. Trump actually is a very stable genius. This is referring to the tweet that he put out where he said, I'm actually very stable and a genius. So, blah, blah, blah. Suck it, right? And, of course, everyone lost their minds. They're saying, see, if you have to call yourself a very stable genius, you're not stable or a genius. And with these warring publications out there, because there was another one in The Hill that said that Fire and the Fury confirms what we already knew, Trump is unfit to serve. Listen, to all of you that don't like what Trump is doing, why don't you just argue with him on the merits of his agenda? Why don't you look at his ideology and combat that? The problem with liberals is they don't want to engage in any logical discussion of their positions, because that's where everything comes undone, right? You talk to a liberal and it is a maddening exercise in feelings, okay? What you said hurt my feelings. It doesn't matter what the substance of it is, but a snowflake is melting, okay? And so instead of arguing with Trump on the merits of his positions, right, they're saying he's unfit to serve. Picking an obscure amendment that has never been exercised, that applies to, by all accounts, and everybody's looking at it seriously, who has any substance, is looking at it and says, this has to do with incapacity, true incapacity. Somebody who's unable to make decisions. This is going absolutely nowhere. So I want you to be aware. That's what this program is about. I want you to be aware. And look, even if you don't like Trump, vote him out of office. Vote in some new members of Congress so they can clip his wings a little bit. But it's not going to go anywhere with this 25th Amendment BS. Just total nonsense. Okay, back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. I will be here, and I can't wait to converse again with all of you. Really do enjoy having you. I really feel this. I have the best audience. You guys are great. I love you all. Talk to you tomorrow night.